The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Thank you, Father, for salvation. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for saving our lives, for breaking every chain, for setting us free. Indeed, you are our living hope. Thank you, Father. You are the reason why all this exists. You are the reason we are doing everything. Thank you for the privilege of all of this. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for the price paid. Thank you, Father. We will sing and sing again of your goodness. Hallelujah. This morning we receive utterance by the Holy Ghost. I receive utterance of mighty move of spirit here. Help everyone here. Bring us into that place that is your plan and your agenda for us. Let no one here live here the same. Thank you, Father. I pray you anoint me this morning to stand and live big in the office of my call this morning. Thank you, Spirit of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you want to shout a big amen this morning? Hallelujah. Do you want to walk up to three persons and say something nice to them? Come on, try that. Power this mic some more. Hallelujah. It's so good to see you this morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. Glory to God. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Today is 21st of April. So one more Sunday and we are done with April. The year is coming to an end. Can you imagine that? What have you achieved? I meant to put pressure on you. Glory to God. God is faithful. And I want to start by saying that I love this church so much. Very well, Lord. I love this church. I love our workers. You guys serve with your hearts. Amen. And with so much joy. I'm going to tell some of you. I don't know even why I'm doing this morning, but I just sensed by the Holy Ghost to say this. If you're serving in this church, let nobody steal your joy. Let nothing make you serve out of anger or out of eye service. Make sure you serve from your heart, freely, cheerfully like that. I get on point. Do your work with joy, because the Lord is bringing us into the best shape of our lives. Thus far, hallelujah. Is that happening to you, somebody? It's getting better and better and better. Glory to God. Amen. You know, just yesterday, or early this morning, I was just thinking about the things we do for Jesus and the joy it brings. Hallelujah. You know, the fact that it comes a time, as I yesterday night, at 2-3, I was still up after having a very stressful weekend and still trying to walk and pray for service and all that. And there was no single regret. There was no single, hey, I'm passing through a lot. Life is dealing with me. No, such joy. Does it happen to you sometimes? Sometimes you stretch yourself morning till night. You know, I was with Nsukka Church yesterday, and some of them, because that meeting in Nsukka, I didn't tell them I was coming till Monday. Or just on Monday, I told them I'll be in your center this Saturday. So they had 4 days, or 3 days, to plan the entire meeting. You know, the stress was on them. You know, some of them left the hall as a Friday night, put the place in order. Around 11 p.m., they were still leaving the hall. And then the next morning, everybody still appeared. Everybody was still there. You know, the joy. You know, it's something you can't explain to anybody. Except you're doing it. Another person will be complaining. But there is this joy. Let nothing steal that joy. Serve the Lord with joy. Serve Him with reckless abandon. You only know what you are doing. They may not understand. And that's why you don't try to explain your commitments to anybody. I've stopped doing that. I've stopped trying to explain my commitment to anybody. Why I give, the why I do. why I serve the way I serve, why I'm always available, why I do what I do. You will not understand. I'm not even expected to understand. Just know that I am happy. Shade say, do what makes you happy. This is what makes me happy. I think we are all fine. Because he said, do what makes you happy. I said, do what makes me happy. You are angry, it makes me happy. That is what makes me happy. Serving the local church, serving the saints, doing all of this. Glory to God. He says, sir, what if you do this and you die? I died in active service. I get what I'm talking about. So there's joy. So I'm excited and I love you guys. I love the way we serve. And it's not just here, it's across every center. And may the Lord bless you. We are getting better. Can I say that again? The Lord is bringing us into the best shape of our lives. Thus far. Say it again, somebody. Now personalize it. Say it again, somebody. The Lord is bringing me into the best shape of my life thus far. Do we say the other part? He's bringing it to my hands. Seeds. Even some great, big, whoopachung seeds. We receive them and we sow them where he shows and directs. And we see what, friends? We see great harvest. Are you excited this morning? Shout a big, big, big amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah, be seated. Today we are, we're tightening up this course on Thursday. This course, have we? Say course. On Thursday we're tightening up this course. But, I want to tidy up today to a very large extent. I've told you on Thursday, we're going to have a very special interactive session, question and answer session on this particular training. Do you remember that? We'll do that this coming Thursday. And, all that. So let's see how far we'll go today. So how to cast out devils? So have you been casting out devils? Oh, it's such a beautiful reality to cast out the devil from people, from things, from places. And it's been an enlightening session. I don't know if I'll have time to do a recap this morning, but I just want to remind you just one thing. The fact that you need to master how to cast out devils from people, from your life, from places, you must master it. And it's not a question of whether you want to learn it or not. It's a fact that you need it. Because I tell you what, I say it all the time, the devil is a gentleman. You don't know how to deal with him, it won't stop him from coming to your finances. You don't know how to cast him out of people, it won't stop him from oppressing your children and your siblings. I feel what I'm saying. It won't stop him. You don't want to deal with him. It won't stop you from oppressing the people you go to preach to. And you cannot actually be preaching the gospel. I don't know how to cast out devils. Because every day you step out to preach the gospel, you meet devils. Every day. Every day you step out to minister to people, you meet devils. Every day you step out and talk to people, you're going to meet the devil. Oppressing people, possessing men, harassing them. But you see, for this reason, the Son of Man was made manifest. That he may disgrace and expose the works of darkness. That's why God has sent you. So you must master it. And one of the things I want to say before I proceed this evening is that the issue of casting out of devils is for every single believer. You see, when I teach things like this, because I know what I'm doing, these are not the kind of topics you hear a pastor discuss for 1 month, how to cast out devils. I should rather be teaching you on casting out devils from your life. But then I want you to see something, that the job of ministry is for you. Mark 16 verse 17 tells us, these signs shall follow they that believe. Emphasis on they that believe. These signs shall follow they that believe. Them that believe. Emphasis on them that believe. What are the signs? Number one. So what is the first sign Jesus said to follow them that believe? They will cast out devils. Sign number one. So once you are a believer, sign number one, even before speaking in tongues. That's what I'm showing you. Before he mentions speaking to us, the first sign is that you cast out devils. And so, it's just that pastors have personalized this whole thing. So, it looks like casting out devils just for some pastor. He said the first sign, once you say, I'm a believer, sign number one, cast out devils. So, let me ask your friend, are you a believer? Ask the person. Get an answer. What did the person say? Tell the person, cast out devils. Yeah. Because people, when they hear things, teachings like this, how to cast out devils. Or if I now start teaching on how to heal the sick, you say, is that what you came to church to learn today? Oh, that's what you actually need. Because it's the sign. He said, my name shall cast out devils. Number two, they shall speak in new tongues. Number three, if they pick up any deadly thing, that's verse 18 now, it shall not harm them. Number four, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Signs of them that believe. That's why you realize even before Jesus died and went to the cross, when he sent out the apostles, he told them, cast out devils. I mean, before he even died and rose again, he said, cast out devils. Before he died, he sent out the 70. The 70 came back, Luke chapter 10, and their testimony was, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So every believer can and should cast out devils. And I've been teaching and laying foundation throughout. Today, exactly what I want to say, I'm going to say what I've always wanted to say. So the first four sessions were foundations. Is that okay? So today I'm going to show you practically. Because you must master. And I'm doing this so you don't just need it for yourself. So you can go out there and help a lot of people. Because a lot of people are struggling. A lot of businesses are struggling. A lot of families are in serious satanic bondage. And I'm not telling you what I read in books or watched in movies. Real life stuff's happening. And if you had followed my teaching last week and on Thursday and on Sunday and gone through everything I have to know there's a demonic oppression in a place, you would have seen that in many places there are satanic oppressions there. Go look at that list I gave you. It was just in many places, many offices. Some offices are under a siege. I feel what I'm saying. But they will never know that the devil is messing with them. Some will never know. So you better learn what I'm saying. It doesn't matter where you are sitting on your seat, you're wondering, I'm not that serious a Christian. The question is, do you believe in what Jesus has done? These signs shall follow them that believe. You say, am I casting out them from somebody? Have I finished casting from my own life? These signs shall follow them that believe. I follow what I'm talking about. Because the day the devil is going to come for someone you know. You know, some of you don't know you're anointed until the devil comes for somebody you know. The way you will pray. The way you will pray. Amen. When you are watching your child and the child is going before you, that's the, you know you have tongues of angels. Katabara, katabara. You don't even know where it's coming from. But don't always wait for challenges of life to bring out that part of you. That is in everybody. The kind of tongues you'll be speaking. Kakaba, kakaba, koropo tomorrow. You know, pause and tell yourself, what am I saying? He says, shall I let him get well? Master how to drive out devils. And it's not a very strange, it's not like a very supernatural teaching. I mean, strange teaching. You see, that's the first thing Jesus said. He said, immediately they believe, the first sign they shall cast out devils. So when he has to cast out of devils, the first question we ask is, do you believe in Jesus? That's the only question. So the first question is not, have you fasted? As important as that may be, and I may touch it today. But that's not the first question. It's not, have you fasted? It's not, have you prayed? It's not, have you paid your tithe? The question is, do you believe in Jesus? I began to cast out devils from the very moment I began to preach. From the very first moment. Because I went into missions. And once you go into missions, demons don't beg you to cast them. They don't beg you to cast demons. You will see demons to cast. I've seen an affliction on someone's pepper farm. You know, have you seen a pepper farm? Pepper, big farm. This yellow pepper. And that farm was afflicted. Real life story. Everything. They came out one morning, everything had died. Now, personally, I didn't see it as an affliction. I felt these things happen. But somehow the woman believed that there was something off. So she took us to the farm and said we should pray. Are you following me? We should pray. I have never seen that before. I only prayed for two reasons. Number one, I was not the leader there, so somebody was there and said we should pray. We prayed. Number two is that they've brought us there. You know, when a woman drags you like that, you cannot not pray. So we said, the name of Jesus, Father, restore. We prayed, left. The next day, she was still the one to come and call us. Say, come and see. Everything has come back. There are afflictions that are cast from places. Now, many things you see in many places are not normal. And because she stays in the village, she knows. We are trying to explain agriculture to her. She told us, no, this one is not normal. She knows what she's saying. And most of those guys in the village, they actually know who did it. So when you are trying to explain to them, you know, this one is agriculture, there is this disease, that you say, which disease? We go to Ekpere first. We make Ekpere. Yeah. And that's what we did. We just prayed and then restore Lord. We went to the next one, everything came back. So you better master how to drive out the devil from places. Because the devil is a wicked devil. These signs shall follow them that believe. Say, I believe. Oh, come on. Say, I believe. So, when you see me cast out devils, that's not because I'm a man of God. That's because I'm a believer. That's all I want to remember. Every time. The testimony the lady shared this morning about me, you know, pray for her, spirit of death and all that. You are here on Thursday, right? Yes. I actually didn't know that she already knew it was spirit of death. You know, I was telling her on Thursday, I don't want to tell you the implication of that particular thing happening. Because that strange presence that she was always seeing around her was the spirit of death around her. And if that Thursday didn't happen, I won't say more than that. It was already very close. You know, fear is a messenger of death. So she said at the point, if she's now sleeping, she's afraid to sleep because she feels she may sleep and not wake up. That's what I'm saying. Now, I've called her out by the Spirit, prayed for her. That prayer did not last up to 1 minute. I get the point. And that devil has been sent back to hell. Now, that's not because I'm a man of God. That's because I am a believer. Every other believer would have stood there and rebuked that devil and he would go. I feel I'm talking about friends. Everybody. And you don't know there's something called spirit of death? There is. Even if you don't agree in spirit of death, you've read the Bible about angel of death. Do you see the angel of death? In Exodus, that angel of death went house by house in Egypt. Every house he entered, first child died. I got what I'm saying. Every house. House by house. Only the people of Israel that put the blood and all that, he couldn't enter the house. But every place that evil angel got into. Just enter. You know what Egypt did? Egypt exposed themselves to Satan's madness. So there's an angel that controls death. Because when you are walking direct, and I said it on two Sundays ago, we're walking in direct rebellion against God. You are allowing evil spirits to walk around your life. Do you remember I told you that? So that spirit of death came door by door. Imagine, so these are not strange. Every firstborn animal, everything died. Spirit of death. When he enters the community, you find people sweeping people up and down. Everything is not normal. You must learn how to tell the devil to stop is enough. Not just in your life, but in people's lives. So I'm going to show you when you meet someone, maybe your family or on the street, you go to preach, I meet someone that is under any kind of oppression or possession, whichever one, of the devil. I'll say a few things that will help you practically drive out that devil. Are you ready for this? Number one, you must know and be assured of your place in Christ. You see this very point? This is actually the most important of them all. If you are not sure of where you are in Christ and who you are in Christ, the devil is going to mess your life up. Because the devil will try to shake you up. You must be assured. Basic things like be assured of your forgiveness, be assured of your righteousness. You know why? There was a deliverance case. It was very embarrassing. Very, very embarrassing. Big program. The man of God, in the name of Jesus, you foul devil. Come out. The girl was very insane. Very, very insane. So that spirit took over her. And she looked at the man of God and said, do you want me to expose you? Right in the program. And the man said, come out. He just said, if you make one more noise, I will expose you to all these people. When I'm talking to you about what happened in Enugu State here, I don't want to mention exactly where. I will expose you to all these people. And man of God just said, Shabara bakada bakabara kada badagada. And left. I got what I'm saying? You know the thing about it is, the devil cannot try that with me. Let me explain something to you. What played out there? The devil, the Bible calls the devil, Zechariah chapter 3, he's the accuser of the brethren. So possibly there was something that man was doing wrong. Are you what I'm talking about? So because the man wasn't so sure of his righteousness, his forgiveness in Christ, so he played that guilt card. So the man began to feel guilt and began to say, and didn't do anything. I think he let her in process. She even slapped the man or something. And they took her out. I said, that cannot happen. There is therefore now no condemnation. What you don't realize is that the qualification of driving the devil is them that believe. If you are not very sure of the fact that you are righteous in Christ, you know, I should tell you guys this story. That man of God that, you know, he was a young guy. You know, I've told this story many times here. But whenever you see me repeat stories like that, it's because I wanted to enter you. They went for a meeting where they have finished charging them up. You can heal the sick. So as they were going home the next morning, they saw he was with his friend. They saw a madman. And he told his friend, let us. He just felt that steering, that leading in his spirit. But one of the major ways you can help people is to follow the leading in your heart. I got what I'm saying. Very important. So he told his friend, I have a leading that I should drive out this devil from this madman. And the friend said, do you even know what you are saying? And he insisted, as they were trying to negotiate, he has already started going close to the madman. And the friend came along, actually. Say, in the name of Jesus, you devil, come out of him. And the madman laughed. And he said it again. Now, I'm telling you, realize what the man stood there. I heard the story from the man himself. He said, the madman told him, stood there, and in the next 2-3 minutes, gave him about 2 or 3 words of knowledge. You know, there are familiar spirits. Say you that, he was a student. You that, your father oversent you money last week. You didn't even remember to call him to tell him that you oversent for the book. Gave him like 3 things. You have you prayed yesterday? And everything the madman said was correct. So he said as he was talking and laughing, making mockery of him, he now picked up stone and started announcing, you people should come and tell this man to run away from me before I kill him. He said, by the time he turned to look at his friend had crossed the road and shouting, Chokodi! Real life story. And then, I even called the man's name. My God. So, and then, just standing across the road, shouting. And he said, the man was coming close. I will kill you with big stone. He said, he just remembered. You know how this is happening? This is happening in 10 minutes. Everything is happening in just split of seconds. If you don't know who you are in Christ, the devil will not give you time to think. It's something you should know like you know your name. He said, in the next second, what just came to his mind, he just looked at the devil and said, hey, you foul devil, yes, you are right. I'm all those things you said. But I don't come to you in my own authority. I'm here in the authority of my elder brother, Jesus Christ. He said, immediately he said that, the stone dropped from his hand. He said, when he was even afraid. But when he now saw the stone drop, And I said, yes, my elder brother is righteous. My Jesus is right. And crazy stuff, the demon came, because by the time this was happening, a crowd had gathered. Drove out the devil. The friend now closed my head and said, they're coming back. And of course, they preached. It was such an amazing time. You know what the devil plays all the time? That guilt card. That's why if you are not sure if you are in Christ, he may not speak out to you directly like that. But right there in your heart, he's talking to you. They are trying to cast out you. You. This pastor is saying, let's go and drive out them. Don't go. First John chapter 4 verse 4. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Said you have overcome. You see, John is talking about it in the past. Even that devil you want to cast, I said, you have overcome them. It has happened already. So you're not standing before a certain devil that is about to engage in some sort of combat. No. You have overcome them. Please follow what I'm talking about. You must know who you are, where you stand in Christ. You know, Acts chapter 19 tells us the story of some people we call, I think from verse 13, the seven sons of Sceva. Do you know those people? Then certain of the vagabond Jews. Who is a vagabond? Huh? For who is a vagabond? My God. A madman. That's what a vagabond is. Oh. Put up like Amplify Classic. Vagabond. Some of the traveling Jewish exorcists. So, these guys, a vagabond, of course, walks up and down. But what are they going up and down doing? They were exorcists. Who is an exorcist? Someone that drives out devil. That's what they were doing for a living. I get what I'm saying. That's what I wanted to see here. They were going up and down. Now, go back to King James. How are they driving out devils? In the name of Jesus. So, they will just go, call over the name of Jesus. But look at the point. I'm talking about who you are in Christ. Having conviction of who you are in Christ, the authority you have in Christ. We adore you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. No assurance of salvation, no assurance of your authority in Christ. I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. But did you observe something? These guys, you are exorcists. So it's not their first time. It's been working all the while. I get what I'm saying. But put up another translation of this. NLT, Amplified Classic. I wanted to say this. Glory to God. NLT said, a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. So it's something they've been doing. So they tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in the incantation, saying, I command the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out. And possibly other demons have been coming out. But then verse 14, they met this other demon. Do you understand? It wasn't just seven sons of Sceva. There were many Jews doing that. But there were this particular group. They were seven sons of one man called Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. So these were not the only people doing that. Many people saw what Paul then were doing, and they went about doing the same thing. Because Paul then were casting out devils everywhere. You know, revival gathers crowd. It gathers a lot of people. So because they have seen Paul do the same thing, so they began to do the same thing all over the place. Some who didn't even know who they were, whether they were even born again or not. So they now go to this particular demon, a knowledgeable demon. Yeah, he said, I don't know if I can say something here freely. Because you notice demons and angels are not all knowing. Are you aware? They're not all knowing. Angels are not even all knowing. The Bible tells us that angels are learning the truth about the death of Jesus from the church. It's not today I'm going to talk about that. I get what I'm saying. So these demons possibly had observed Paul's ministry very well and asked a very simple question. Jesus, I know that name Jesus you mentioned. I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Now that was the time to test that you know who you are in Christ. And because, as they were trying to start, my name is Alexander. But I'm taking the Alexander's compatibilities. Oh my God, that's a joke. Before you could finish, say, my name is the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. That the one man beat up seven men. I told you on Thursday, every natural strength has its source in something supernatural. One man carrying one dangerous evil spirit, beat up seven men. They were wounded and pursued. I can imagine, Bible said they ran out of the house naked. It must have been a real beating. Why would the devil deal with someone like this? Who are you? That's the simple question he asked them. And every time you stand before a devil, he's asking you, who are you? Jesus, I know. Pastor Henry, your pastor, I know. Who are you? And that's why, if you're not assured of your righteousness status, the authority you have in Christ, who Christ has made you, everything you have in Christ, you feature before devils. I came to reassure you again that you've been made righteous in Christ. You're not a sinner. Your sins are forgiven. You have authority in Christ. You are actually seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above. Because Satan can sense people who are ignorant. That's why when we begin to teach in church and teach new creation realities, who you are in Christ, you are forgiven, you are righteous. Those teachings are not just there to excite you. They are building something inside of you. So when you stand before a challenge, you stand praying like you know. Say with me, say, I'm righteous. Say it again, say, I'm righteous. Say, my sins are forgiven. Say, I have the authority of Christ. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named. I'm not weak. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I have the authority of Christ. Glory to God. So the question is, what do you know about yourself? What do you know about yourself? So if the devil asks you, who are you? Platform of Grace, I know. Pastor Henry, I know. Even Jesus, I know. Who are you? This story already tells you that all this Nigerian movie that they act, that demon wanted to call Jesus and couldn't call it, is actually not correct. Because Jesus called, there'll be demons called Jesus in this particular story. He said, Jesus, I do. The name Jesus, that word Jesus, is a normal name. Demons are not afraid of it. What they are afraid of is the authority. When you come to them in the authority of that name, they can't say no. Because as I've explained to you, if your name is Joshua, your name is Jesus. Joshua is just the Hebrew for the word Jesus. It's Yeshua. I got what I'm talking about. Some people that try to want to sound mysterious say, Yeshua HaMashiach. I think they say anything special, it's Jesus. Joshua is Yeshua. I got what I'm saying. So in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. You see, if you don't know who you are in Christ, and you say, I come against the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they will leap on you. Is that part of big English? What is even Yeshua HaMashiach? Do you even know what it is? Jesus HaMashiach. Say, I know who I am in Christ. Shout it again, somebody. Shout it again, somebody. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I carry the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. I'm not a sinner. Satan has nothing on me. I'm righteous in Christ. I have the authority of Christ. I'm righteous in Christ. The life of God is working in me even now. Shout amen, somebody. You must know this. Sit for a moment. Now, it's not just what you confess. I want you to know it. And you say, so how do I know it? Listen to what say it all the time. Listen to teachings on it. Study your Bible. Know who you are in Christ. That's why people stand before sicknesses that are commanding the sickness to go. They're not even sure that it will go. They are doubting. Am I sure? Am I not sure? They don't know who they are. You must know. That's why, let me say, attending church, reading your Bible, listening to messages, all these spiritual growth things, they are preparing you for your assignment. Because it's as you come to church every day that you begin to learn these things and they begin to sink and enter into you. That's why we say things like, you see, someone that's not been to church, doesn't read his Bible for long, he cannot cast out devils. Now, that's not because he doesn't have the power to do it. But because, you see, there is something about repetition. When you hear something again and again, even if somebody tries to talk out of it, even if I walk up to you now and convince you, okay, that your name is not loved. I'm proving to you, I'm bringing certificates. When you are born, the name that you are given was Mbeke. That's your real name. And I'll show you many documents. He said, wow, are you serious? He said, yes. If I still say love it, you answer. Do you have that? After convincing, he said, yes. Oh, wow. So how do I do? And I said, your name is not love it. The original name you were born with. Say, yes, sir. If you want to go and I say, love it, sir. Why? You've heard that name love it to a point that you know your name is love it. That even when there is proof and evidence that your name is not Lovett, you might have accepted the evidence, but you have known it beyond any evidence. You need to hear about who you are in Christ so much, and it enters you to the point that even when there's a contrary evidence staring you in the face, what you know has entered you. For instance, I know I'm righteous. I know I cannot go to hell. Now, it's not just what I say to you, I know it. That even if I close my eyes and I find myself in hell, fire is burning me, I will wake up. I'm so sure it's a dream. It's something I know. I've heard it, I've read the word of God, I've seen it. I get to the point. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. For everlasting life. I have believed, I cannot perish. Now, I've seen it in the Bible. That I have not just seen it, everybody has seen it, but it has entered me. It's sitting inside of me. I now have authority over sickness, over the devil. We've gone to a village, they say, you see this shrine, they don't need to enter it. If you enter it, you die. With race. Real life story. Enter, stay small, come out. Which other shrine? That is not coming from what somebody said to me. I know where I stand. Die where? Inside shrine. It's not possible. Many years ago, they called, was that? Kosadeboy. They go to a village and they said, oh, you guys want to do crusade? He said, yes. He said, okay. There is this forest. It's an evil forest. Everybody that enters there dies. Evil spirits stay there. They throw everybody there. If you can enter there and do the crusade, they said, okay. Went to the Buddhas and said, clear everywhere. They own the land today. Evil forest. Die where? No, that kind of thing doesn't come from what you hear in church once in a while. It is what you've sat on. That which we know, which our hands have touched, which we have handled of the word of life. It's not about what you just hear somebody say. That's why when you visit church once in a while, you can't confront devils. That's not because you're not born again, but because the devil will ask you, who are you? And you'll be able to answer. I get the point. And sometimes how to answer the devil is not by saying, I'm righteous in Christ. It's by showing him who you are. I've got the point. Show him who you are. Because the devil will come for you. He works with guilt. He works with fear. You see fear, you see guilt. Leave it for the devil. He's the master. All this emotional blackmail people are doing, it's the devil that started it. This is him. He will so make you afraid. He will so make you feel guilty. You want to cast me out. You've not prayed. Pastor fixed fasting yesterday. Before 10 a.m., you've eaten meat. Now, he begins to talk like the Holy Spirit. Leave this casting out of devil. Go and fast. After 3 days, come back to it. You think you're hearing God. You're hearing your guilt. And I say, sir, the Lord said I should not cast out that devil after 3 days fast. Which the Lord? Your guilt is talking to you. And let me tell you what eventually happens. You will not finish that fast. By the time you do first, second day, you will eat abubu. Eat abubu. Yes. I'm so sure. Then say, you've scattered it again. You go again. You now put another 4 days. By the second day, moi moi. Very crazy kind of food that you're eating. I get to the point. A guy told me he wanted to fast. It was fasting, though, and now went to his friends and they gave him Heineken. And he drank it. I said, you said Heineken to break your fast. Can you imagine that? You said Heineken to, of all things to break fast with. Even the demon will be smiling. You know, there is this thing about guilt that the devil brings to people. Now, I'm not saying this to permit your sin. Work on your sin. If you have a struggle, work on it. I get the point. Let the Holy Spirit help you. But you see, when you want to cast out devils, what God is checking is not your sinless perfection. What is being checked is in whose name are you speaking? I got what I'm saying. In whose name? If someone wearing rags, like a mad person, comes to the bank holding a check signed by a very rich man, no matter how he's dressed, once they can confirm that check is addressed to him, they'll give him the money. It's not about how you are dressed. It's about the authority you came with. Who is what I'm talking about at all? He said, he's wearing rag, but he's holding check. Give him his money. He has not brushed his teeth, but he has check. Properly signed. So when you stand before the devil, stop trying to look inwards to check how perfect you are. Look at the Bible. Look at who God has made you. Look at what God has said about you. Look at where you are seated in Christ Jesus. If you can put your eyes there and internalize it in, then the devil cannot talk you out because he will try. Zechariah 3 verse 1. Because Joshua was wearing a field garment, the Bible said the devil, Satan stood. Look at that. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, this is a very prophetic scripture. Standing at his right hand. Right hand in scripture is not just about geographical location. Right hand is about the place of authority. Put up like a fire classic. He was standing there to resist him, to accuse him. Look at that. Then the guardian angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to be his adversary and to accuse him. So that's what he does, accusing people. Do you know why he was standing there? Verse 3, he was wearing a filthy garment. Look at verse 2. He was wearing a filthy garment. Verse 3. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Now look at what the Lord now said. Verse 4. He said, take away the filthy garment from him. Because I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee. And I will clothe thee with change of raiment. That's what God always says to you. I have caused your iniquity to pass from you. But what's the devil saying on the other hand? You're a sinner. You're a liar. You are not qualified. You're a bad person. Your prayer life is bad. You're not studying well. You're not fasting well. You cannot cast me out. There are levels of demons. You are in level 6 in the kingdom of God. This demon is level 30 in the kingdom of darkness. You can't cast me out. If you try, I will not go out. He's just talking to you. And you know the point? He doesn't talk to you like he's the devil talking. He talks to you like you are the one saying it. You know, I've taught you this many times. The devil speaks in the first person pronoun. The devil doesn't talk to you like you are mad. No. What you'll be thinking is, I am mad. So even if you begin to hear that, I'm not good. I'm mad. I'm not doing well. I'm not qualified. It's the devil talking. Are you following me, friends? Are you following me? Peter and the rest went out for missions. They came back, they cast out devils. You know who Peter is again? At this time, Peter was still going to deny Jesus. Some months from there. At this time, Peter was still a very unstable person. But yet, the demons couldn't say no to him. Who is following me, everybody? Couldn't say no to him. I'm not saying that to excuse your sin. I'm just saying that wherever you see the devil, cast him out. I get what I'm saying. Everywhere you see him. Don't let him make you feel you're not okay. You're not qualified. You have to be this. Now, if you have to live right because you have to live right. And I've given you several reasons why you have to live right. One of them is not because you need authority. Is that not the reason? Authority is something that came onto you when you came into Christ. You need to live right because you're living in a world. You have people that, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men. And you know, you have to carry out assignments, you have to minister to people, and you have to live right because sin messes you up. Sin is not a good friend. But do not ever think that one day you're going to stand for the devil and what God is going to check before he answers your prayer is how perfect you are. God wouldn't do that. The Bible tells us, James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father of light that giveth to all men liberally and upbraided not. Look at that word, upbraided not. Put on a Amplified Classic. What does it mean to upbraid? Upbraided not. Amplified Classic, are you ready? If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God who gives everyone. How? Liberally and ungrudgingly. How does he give? Without reproaching or fault finding. So God doesn't want to answer your prayer and he begins to check for faults in your life. He doesn't do that. He gives without fault finding. Are you following me this morning? So that's why when you start before the devil, don't let him bring memories of your sin. Are you following me? Don't let him bring memories of your sin. 2 days ago, you did this. 5 days ago, you did that. That's the devil playing that card. And you won't cast him out. And the point is that you think if you don't cast the devil out and you move, that he will not leave you. You see the way he pursued those seven sons of Sceva? That's the devil. Now, you don't come before the devil and then you say, okay, I'm not casting you out again. I don't think I'm qualified. Oh yeah, bye-bye. As I'm going, you too go. As you are going, he will pursue you. You see what he did to those guys? One madman beat up seven of them. Bible said they ran out naked. My God. Amen. So if you have to cast out devils, you must first of all be established on who you are in Christ. Number two, never give room for fear. Never. Never give room for fear. Because fear is how the devil operates. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, this is very important. God has not given us. So every time you see fear. So, no. If you need to check here. Number one. First thing you must see from this verse is that there is a spirit of fear. Now, look at it. Fear is not just an emotion. Are you looking at that verse? Are you seeing it? There is what? Spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. So when you hear us pray and say, I cast out the spirit of fear from you, don't ask us, how is that a spirit? Fear is a spirit. It's very clear. Paul the apostle said, God has not given us. So first of all, fear is a spirit. Second thing you know from this verse is that God does not give anybody fear. So every time you find fear functioning or operating around you, the devil brought it. And so when you stand before the devil, one of the first things the devil is going to cast on your heart, into your life, and when you want to cast him out, is fear. First thing, fear. And one of the ways he casts out fear, he can use anything. You can see drama. You can want to raise somebody that is sick, and the person will die on the spot. Or you wanted to pray for someone that one leg is not working, the other leg stops working entirely. All the devil is trying to project into your heart is fear. Are you good what I'm talking about? You can want to cast out someone that has an evil spirit. Sorry. Cast an evil spirit from someone, and the person just says, fear. He walked about like a roar. So he's not even a roaring lion. But he walks like one. There is only one lion. That of the tribe of Judah. Who is following me this morning? But he's going to walk like one so that you can become afraid. Ah, I'm here. You know this, you watch in movies. You know there are many unscriptural things that Nollywood taught us. What do you do when that happens in Nollywood? You now bring out your Bible. The day you do this, both you and your Bible, your hand and your Bible will fall off. What's this? This is not the word of God. Did you hear what I said? This book contains the word of God, the written word. The word of God is your spirit man. So if you like, gather the Bible, 30 Bibles, put them, wear them like chain. You read kwa kwa, just say up and down. Hollywood is funny. You say, shh. You're snapping me. Imagine that. Say, fire. Is this bulletproof? And the man of God actually, for us, told a story of how, say, he went with his wife to somewhere. They were doing a meeting and somebody began to manifest some demonic stuff at the back. So the wife, of course, she was in front. The wife went to the back to ask to see what was happening. So when the wife arrived there, he couldn't see the person that was demon possessed. Everybody around had covered him with their Bible. All of them threw their Bible on every. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Seriously, where is the person say, look at him, he's under the world. Such unthought people. How do you expect that they are going to throw Babylon somewhere and then the demon will vanish? Just like you want to sleep, you are always afraid. You now put Babylon under your bed. Better stop that thing you are doing. With your head on the Bible, under your bed, they say that will press your neck. Yeah. It is the word of God that your spirit and the devil is afraid of. Not Bible. This Bible is printed by men. So men that print Bible are unbelievers. They just own printing press, printing Bible. So what's making you think there's something special about that book? What is special about it is that it contains the written word. Yes, we carry Bible, we respect the Bible. I'm not saying this to downplay the place of the Bible. But I'm saying the Bible exists so that through it, you can take the word of God into your spirit. So like use Bible and we think, kush, 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 kush. Just like this one, I'm going to teach you some things today. So that you want to cast out devil, Nollywood too. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. What's that? Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. That's not cast out of devil. Fire. Fire. Holy Ghost fire. What's all that? Where did I know those things from? So you saw Jesus in the Bible, or saw Paul the Apostle stand before that lady in Acts chapter 16, shouting, the blood of Jesus. And the demon will now throw one. And I said, as now falling, he now picks up his Bible. I said, push, fire. All those things are just drama. You know, what the problem I have in Nollywood is that sometimes they want to write a script. And they will not bring people who are into those things in real life to write a script for them. How can you that is in the world write scripts of how a pastor casts out devil? Come and ask me. I'll tell you how we sit down. Like we used to stand on our car and say, hey, you foul devil, get out in the name of Jesus. But that's it will not sell. So, lightning has to be moving. I don't know where we get all those thoughts from. But the devil operates with fear. That's what I'm saying. And all those drama I'm showing now is a product of fear. Holy Ghost fire is fear. To start with, Holy Ghost fire is not a bad thing. Every time I lay hands on you, I'm releasing Holy Ghost fire upon you. Holy Ghost fire blesses. It is the fire of the Holy Ghost. It sat on the apostles on the day of Pentecost. It didn't consume them, sir. Holy Ghost fire does not consume anybody. Holy Ghost fire. Amen. That's what you should say. You hear me, minister? I said, the fire of God is going to rest upon you. And you're lifting your hands. Because it's a good thing. But then, after that, you now go to the demons and the Holy Ghost fire. I told you on Thursday, want to cast out devil. Cast out devil. Stop all this useless blood of Jesus. That blood. That blood. That blood. You want to cast out devil? You know, that some devils will be cast. All these small devils that don't know book. If you meet this kind of one, they met. You know, that one they met in Acts 19 is still on earth. If you know, the demons don't retire, you know, they don't die. There are angels. So you see roaming this earth. Maybe around this place. Now, after that demon is in somebody currently. The demon that was in Mary Magdalene is in somebody now. Mercy with the mercy, seven of them. You know, we now meet that particular one, and you stand before that devil saying, Lord of Jesus. Well, you don't think what was this one doing? Come and see. The blood, that blood, that blood, that blood. So what will happen? I should swim. Learn how to cast out devil. So they're shouting blood, blood, blood. Say, but the Bible said they overcame him by the blood. So you think they overcame the devil by shouting blood of Jesus on the devil? Demons respond to God's word. The same with angels. You want the devil to go, ask him, get out of here in the name of Jesus. That's what you do. Is it too hard to say? Also, all this, see, Christianity is not a TR. We don't do incantation. Blood, 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 fire, 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 fire. That's how we do. We give command to the devil. You foul devil, take your hands off that young man. That's what we do. Casting out the devil is so simple that you need a theologian to complicate it for you. Because what I'm saying now is not settling. Why am I staying on this point? It's not settling down well with you. Because everywhere you've gone to, that's how you see them cast out devils.
Fire! That's what they're seeing. Go to the Bible. You saw Jesus standing before that madman of Gadara. Is it that madman of Gadara? Did you read about him? That madman of Gadara, you cannot shout blood to that man. He will pounce on you. Bible said the man was so mad, every chain they put on him, he tore it. He shut down an entire street. Nobody passes through that road because he's there. I don't know what they're talking about. So you now meet a guy and say, blood, blood. Your blood will flow. I follow you, friends. You don't have to know. Be assured, let there be no fear. Don't act out of fear. Let me teach you a secret. Even when you feel fear before a deliverance case, speak faith. Because devil doesn't read your heart. He hears what you say. So, have I cast out devils and I felt afraid? No, man. That's the game of the devil. If I've ever cast out the devil, you must be afraid. That's some level you touch. They brought me to pray to destroy an oracle before. For these shrines. When you get there, the artwork alone is scary. The artwork, the blood, the life blood they are seeing there. You will be afraid. But you know what I do? I'm not my feeling. I'm not a human feeling. I'm a human being. I may feel fear, but I'm not afraid. So, remember that what I feel? I say, hey, okay, you, are you guys ready for this thing? Bring out those, let's burn them. Yes. Devil, get out of those places. He doesn't check. You might be afraid, but never say it. Never act it. Never hold your friend and say, don't do like that. Once you begin to talk like that, I told you guys, did I handle those cases of those demon possessed ladies? You know, I should share with you guys. The two girls about me, one of them is Star Joy, of course, they're following now. And another Joy. I know Star Joy is strained now. She has worked with me, so she was just behind me speaking in tongues as we were trying to figure out what to do. But that girl was behind, holding hand, shouting, "Oh, where is our God?" That's fear. I turned back. I said, will you shut up? Because the devil wants to make you afraid. Don't talk like that. Where is your God? You know why she was shouting? Because they've scattered our crusade. All these girls were misbehaving, throwing everyone up and down, smashing things, running up and down. You can't imagine it until you experience it. They will run from one door and pass evil spirits. Demonic spirits. So you said, where is our God? I turned. So will you shut up? And of course, I said, don't know what to do, just pray in tongues. That's enough. I'm the leader here. Let me figure out what to do. But I'm coming to this figuring out very shortly. Let me figure out what to do. I'll just stay there. So you don't allow fear because every place you see evil spirits moving, you must see fear. Ah. That meeting that Prochima then put up in that village, I was there. And I was telling you guys on Thursday. Very demonic village. Every young girl in the village, I didn't say that oppressed, possessed. Yeah. Every young girl. All of them. So immediately I said, in Jesus' name, Father, grace. Some ran through the window, some ran through the door. It was a chaotic meeting. And I told them, pursue them. So the missionaries were pursuing people, catching people, dragging them to the wall. Very chaotic kind of meeting. So that we can deliver them. Jesus. You must be fine. You know, very chaotic meeting. One secondary school around that they came to call me one day. I think you were so well with me that day. We're having prayer retreat and they came to call us. A day before that day, a heavy rain had fallen. I think you remember the story? The heavy rain fell. And right there in the midst, in the quadrangle. You know, if you get to a secondary school, sometimes they have this quadrangle in their hostel and there is this opening round, a gutter kind of. And said the rain had fallen into that gutter, and then this spirit, real life story, this spirit appeared. This lady appeared and jumped into the water and began to swim it. After swimming it, she disappeared. Many of those girls began to jump into that water to swim it. Real life story. After that happened, the rain stopped. All of them got themselves. Fear took over the school. Everybody was afraid. They were seeing funny dreams. So they called. It happened on Friday. They called their principal. The matron called principal to report the incident. Principal said, "Me, I don't know any man of God around. Anyone you know?" They said, "There's one young boy, young guy. They used to pray in the chapel. They can't call him." I said, "They came to call me." Coincidentally, when they came, we're having prayer retreat. We call it set apart then in the chapel. So they came and they told me. We went there that night. We were on 2 days, 2 or 3 days fast. No food, no water. The last of the fast. Have you ever done that? My eye was. When you're on that kind of fast, you don't shout at the devil too much. Out. Because if you shout too much, you may die. We entered the school. Everybody gathered. The whole students. There was fear. You could feel fear. You could cut it with a knife. Everybody was afraid. If you say in Jesus, if you hear the amen. If you read song, everybody is singing. That was worthy. Everybody is serious. And we got to work that night. It was such an experience. We were plenty. I was just leading the team. Driving out there. I just preached a very simple message. From one person to another. We ran away. It was so much. I mean, if you see cases. But if you get into fear, is that devil operates. Because when you get to that place, you can feel the fear. You want to come pray for somebody, don't let fear. Even if you feel fear, don't say fear. Don't speak fear. Don't act it. Because the devil does not read your mind. Have I not told you that? Doesn't do that. It is what you say that he can act on. I'm not afraid. The reborn spirit, the man, the me, the real me has never been afraid of anything. I may feel fear, but I don't have fear. You can never see me. I'm a demon, and I'm saying, and I'm just talking with my mouth shaking. No, with boldness. Only me know what I'm feeling inside. And how it works is once you begin to speak gospel with that kind of boldness, the fear disappears. You don't even hear me. Don't stand before the devil and doing, "I'm not afraid. I have faith." Mm-mm. Just start walking. Ignore the fear. The fear itself is a distraction. The fear is to tell that devil in that girl or that boy is even trying to cast his spell on you. That's why there is fear. Are you following what I'm talking about? So, never allow fear. Never allow fear. And that takes you to the next point. When you stand before a case, don't pray to God. Write it too. Don't pray to God in the face of devils. Drive out devils. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to pray. But don't stand before someone that is of the devil and saying, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, come now. And come and..." That's not what we're asked to do. The Bible says, cast out devils. Acts 16 verse 16. When Paul and Silas, when they met that man, that lady, sorry, that was demon possessed, they didn't begin to say to her, they didn't gather and start saying, "In Jesus' name." Let us first of all begin to thank God and appreciate God for this opportunity to cast out this devil. Say, "Shagarabata lakataya, Father, we thank you for this girl that is demon possessed. We know you can do all these things in Jesus' name." Amen. Let's begin to confess our sins before the Lord and ask the Lord, "Anyway, I've sinned against him, let him forgive us." In Jesus' name, amen. Let's invite the Holy Spirit here now. That's not what you do when you meet the devil. Pray your prayer at home. Look at this verse. They saw the girl. 17, 18. Quickly. Of course, verse 18. What did Paul do? "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." Simple. It's not, "Oh, begin to thank God. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Worthy, O Lord." The man is possessed, looking at you people. "To receive glory, honor, and power in Jesus' name. Amen." Now, let's begin to bind every spirit of pressure that wants to stop our prayer. What are all those drama for? You are holding service for devil. Drive out devils. Jesus said, when you get there, cast out devils. That's what he said. I don't stand before a sick person. You see me at Rezo Fat, I want to pray for the sick. And I'm saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Mm-mm. It's just that I have a culture. I start on my prayer with thanksgiving. First, you hear me say, Father, well, thank you. In the name of Jesus, you foul devil, get out of that body. It's as simple as that. Be that confident. Because most of all those dramatic, my role is fear. Do you know? It's fear and lack of confidence. All those going up and down, let's thank God, let's confess our sins. Because there is a particular case, real life story, they were casting out, they were in a group. As they were doing all of that, the girl was now walking up and down, real life story. One by one, telling them their sin. Sinners. And you know, these guys were so untrained. They now said, one of the leaders now said, that you cannot cast out devil if you have sin. Let's confess our sin. These people knelt down and began to confess their sins. The possessed girl was standing in their midst, walking up and down. They were now praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on us. I am not worthy. You know those songs? you know those songs? I am not worthy even to mention your name. Abu Maja Daradao. Did you sing that one? Chineke Wuliemi. Before a demon possessed person. Abu Maja. Yeah, I really did that go because that girl will beat people up that day. Don't do that. That's not. When Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, he didn't get there and began to say, look at the only thing he said is, Father, I thank you because you've heard me. I'm just saying this because of these people here that they may know you have sent me. Lazarus, come forth. You address the situation. That's when you start praying to God, doing intercessory prayer, doing opening prayer, holding service, saying 20 minutes in the prophetic prayer. Let Pastor Casey come up and lead us. 20 minutes opening prayer. After that, we'll take offering. And I say, it's not time to cast out the devil. What are those drama for? Stop holding service for the devil. When your child falls sick, the devil is afflicting him. Just get there, put your hands on the person, say in the name of Jesus, you foul devil, get out of this body. It's not service I hold it. That's not when you begin to pray to God. Jesus never said when you get to any sick person or mad person or possessed person, call me to come and drive it out. He never said that. He said, you drive out devils. Never ask God to do what he has asked you to do. Yes. Don't ever ask, don't leave up to God what God has left up to you. Let me say it again. Don't live up to God what God has left up to you. Everything God has said you are the one to handle. Don't get up and say, for the name of Jesus, come and pray. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. You foul devil, take your hands off this body. Out. Because demons will respond to the instruction you give. You see why I'm talking about shouting blood of Jesus? Because blood of Jesus is not an instruction. Holy Ghost fire is not an instruction. I release Holy Ghost fire to consume you. Demons are not going to be consumed, at least not now. Do you see what they told Jesus? You know, demons are knowledgeable with the things you tell them. You see what they told Jesus? Have you come to drive us out before our time? So they know there is a time they will go. So you shouting Holy Ghost fire, consumed. They know they will not be consumed. Are you following? I'm talking about everybody. Have you come to drive us out before our time? So they even know that there is a time for them to be driven out. They know it's not yet time. So what can you do? You push them out from that body that they are possessing. Are you following me, friends? So you drive out the devil. That's not the time to hold crusade on the person. Cast out devils. Now in the process of time, listening for any specific instruction, that's if any. Because there are some cases where you can get instructions. Like that particular case I told you, when all those girls were manifesting, running up and down, you know, behaving very crazy ways, I didn't know what to do. I just felt there was something we needed to do. I was listening for instruction. And the instruction that God gave me was very funny. He said, pack all of them up, tie them, and start preaching. So you listen. Now, if there is no specific instruction about any case, simply act on the word, cast out devils. It's as simple as that. Now, if there's nothing, you start with a person that is oppressed of the devil, and God did not tell you to do this, you just, now, God already has told you something in the word, cast out devils. But if there are any specific instructions, you act on them. Are we still here? You act on them. Now, let me say some more. When you're dealing with people who are under the captives of the devil. You know, on Thursday I was talking to you about captives. Do you remember that? We're dealing with captives. Okay, people that maybe have gotten themselves entangled with some satanic whatever, sometimes by their own free will. Let me say this to you. If you are here, and at any time in your life, you visited a witch doctor, a native doctor, a water spirit, I hope you've dealt with that. If you've not dealt with it, deal with it today. Come, let us tidy it up. Because the devil is not as calm as you think. You visited him like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, to help you, to protect you, to give you money, to joy, say. You know what I mean? To make inquiry. I want to check something. Once you've entered, I was saying it on Thursday, once you've given the devil that kind of room in your life, he will come in and he'll keep messing things up. You have to drive him out for him to go. Because that thing is you willingly going to submit yourself to his authority. So listen to me. Something is wrong with the family. They say, let us go and see this one. Don't indulge in that kind of thing. Now, when you're dealing with someone that's indulge that kind of thing, one of the first ways you start is always good to lead the person to renounce what the person did and what he said. It's always good. No, so when someone has, maybe you're dealing with someone that is a cultist or is a witch or, you know, involved in any diabolic, whatever, let him use his mouth to renounce it. Because when he was going there, he said some things. Because you cannot do any charm that you did not talk. Are you aware? When you go and do charm, you must talk. You must, they will ask you, say things like, you know, you will talk to the oracle. So make sure you lead the person to renounce. Because the person's gate at that point, okay, is the person's mouth rather is the gate to his freedom to start with. So this person to renounce anything said. Now, that's why we can help you. If you ever indulge in any of those things, because you wanted to go and make money, or you wanted to go and do this, or you wanted to go and do that, let us help you. And get out of that thing. Because the devil is not going to let you be. Why? You used your two legs to walk into his captivity. I get what I'm saying? And because you went to ask for help. And you think the devil will help you and let you be. He will not let you be. That's why you went to receive help for your child, and he will give you a child, or he will heal your child, and then everyone else will begin to suffer in your life. You know why? He wants you to keep coming back to him. Better come for help. So when we meet such people, what do? We minister help to them by first letting them renounce the things that they've said and the covenants, if any, and cut off some ties. Are you following me? Are you following me? And that's why if you're like that and there are any physical objects you have, they gave you a ring, they gave you bangle, they gave you whatever, they have to be destroyed. Now, that's what the reason that has to be destroyed. We would cast out the devil from you first, then we'll destroy that thing. And why do you have to, where did you get that from? It's in the Bible. In Acts chapter 19, I think that's 18. Paul in Ephesus did that. Many that believed came, confessed, and shewed their deeds. Go back there. Probably like NLT or something. They shoot their deeds. Many who believed became believers. Many who became believers, rather, confessed their sinful practices. Put up Amplified Classic. Many also of those who are now believers, Amplified Classic. Who are now believers, watch this. Came making full confession and thoroughly exposing their former deceptive and evil practices. So these guys were involved in some occultic, diabolic thing. Paul took the gospel to them. They accepted it. And they opened the message Bible. Let's read the message together. Are you ready? Add your voice. Let's go. Many of those who thus believed came out of the closet and made a clean break with their secret sorceries. So it's not just enough to see some people and start saying, come out, come out. If they entered anything by themselves, let them break up with it. How do you do that? It's not any, they don't need to bring fowl or bring pigeon. Just lead them to use their mouth to renounce. If they made any sacrifices, Jesus is their sacrifice now. They don't need to do any other thing. I feel I'm talking about, let them renounce it. Now, not only did they do that, go to verse 19, see another thing they did. When they used their mouth to break it, verse 19, many of them which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. So if the person has collected all these books or chain or bangle or I know what I'm talking about. Then they bring it and destroy it. And you, child of God, Don't be afraid to destroy such things. I've destroyed many. I remember one girl that they brought, before she came, you know, she was having some demonic attack. They took her to an Indian temple. You know, it's Indian temples. And they gave her a lot of crazy stuff to bath with, to drink, to eat, to rob. I bought me. My siblings are here, they will remember many times. You tell you come to the backyard and you see me burning something. Or you go to, I'm always burning things. Bring it, I'm going to burn it. Bang, I'll burn it. You know what I'm saying? That if you destroy those things, drive them out, and you burn up those things. That's why you can't. Now, I'm digressing now to say, this is about casting out devil. Let me help some of you. If you're ever involved in such things, you used to go to water spirits, you used to go to white garments, this, you used to go to prayer, all those things, and they give you things. They say, use this salt and be cooking. Use this one. Destroy those things. If you need help, let's help you. That's why if when you go to cast, somebody asks me, what if you, there's a case of a shrine, how do I destroy shrines? My counsel, you know, every time in destroying shrines is, you know, I'm not really bothered about a shrine. I'm bothered about the spirits there. So do I destroy shrines? Yes. But what do I do first? I would convince the custodians of the shrine and they give their permission and I will lead them to denounce that shrine, then I'll destroy it. If you don't do that and you burn up that shrine, there's no problem. It's a matter of time. Tomorrow they will go back and invoke the spirit back and build another one. You've not changed anything. Once you just burnt out the artifacts, it's men that bring in demons. Are you following me, everybody, this morning? So I'll get you. Custodian of the shrine, are you renouncing this? Yes. We lead you to Christ, get you to denounce all those things, then we'll burn them, we'll bring them down. Are you still here? Are you learning something this morning? So that's why in all those deliverance kind of cases, you see, when you see someone possessed of the devil and as involved in all this diabolic stuff, let them destroy it. Now, hear me, friends. You see, this is what I'm saying now. You're going to meet many of them. I think it was in that crusade that you guys said that I made a call. I said, if you're a young man here and you've gone to any native doctor to collect, you know, this fortification thing, Odeshi. You know Odeshi? I said, if you don't need to come out, if you see the young men that came out, you have to drive those things out from them. Let me say this to you again and again. The devil is not that calm that you just tell him, protect me, and he's protecting you, and he leaves every other area of your life alone. Make sure you are fine. Why do you think that when Africa as a continent was very deep into all these traditional practices, that there was high-level poverty here? Why do you think so? High-level poverty. One or two persons were rich. But even that wealth, they struggled. You see some people that are rich now, using occultic powers, some of them, their health, terrible. Their children are suffering. I know what I'm talking about. Why do you think that some rich men, you know, you think something that's normal, some rich men die, and for more than 20 years, their properties are still in court. The children cannot enjoy it. They're still fighting over it for like 20 years. Because that spirit they served will not allow those children to enjoy those wealth. Except they come and serve him too. Never. That matter of being caught, the government will seize everything. Everything will deteriorate. I know a factory that they fought over. They fought over that factory from when I was young till now. They're fighting over the factory. The factory has deteriorated to the last. I still got nothing over it. So that's why you're involved with all this diabolic whatever. You need that devil to be cut off. And you submit those things they give you. And we destroy them. And you begin to enjoy a glorious life in Christ Jesus. 2010, Kogi State, Akpanya to be precise, went there to do a meeting for missions, met this guy, had gone to a native doctor, what have you, and got a ring to run his business. And he was working. If he entered the shop, if he touches that ring on anything, you must buy it at the price he told you to buy it. Yes. That's some of you in the marketplaces. You better stay spiritual. Have I warned you? Don't be carnal in a spiritual world. Don't be too natural. You think all the people doing business with you think they're just there, they come out every day and they start their shop. They consult things. And this happened to a point. You know, the problem was where he went to get that particular charm was very far. So by the time I met him, he lost the ring. He had lost the ring. So everything was going haywire. He can borrow money, 2 or 3 million, stock up his shop, everything will disappear. Not like disappear like into the end, no. He might wake up one day, there was a day he came, but he said he saw a dream where a pigeon died in his shop. He came to the shop the next morning, everything was burnt down. And it's something that's so spiritual, the shop will be burnt, other shops around will not be burnt. I get what I'm talking about. So in that kind of case, I had to make him, he brought things. I said, not only ring, everything they gave you. We had to go through the process of leading him to Christ first, because that's the first thing, you preach the gospel to him. Then you take him through the process of renouncing all those nonsense. And you see why I'm telling you this story. When I was doing all this, I was not a pastor. I said 2010, I was not a pastor. I feel like I'm talking about. I was not a pastor. Renouncing all these things, then we gathered, bond them, then bless this business. I say, you go now and prosper. You lost your ring, I didn't lose mine. I have my own. You lost your own, I have my own. That Jesus gave me. He never goes. He said, I will sleep with you, I will dwell with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can throw away the necklace they gave you. My own can never get lost. So when there are such cases, you gather those things, you destroy them. And don't be afraid. You see, look at this. You think what they destroyed. What Paul destroyed in this place was maybe a few material. Look at that. The price of them, 50,000 pieces of silver. In my cave of silver. Silver. That's younger brother of gold. 50,000 pieces. These are occultic materials. They burnt everything down. There is power in the name of Jesus. If I attend any Royal Bunkies crusade, I think the second to last of the crusade, they gather all these idolatry stuff from people and they burn it. Every crusade. Every crusade. There is power in the name of Jesus. I said there is power in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you believe that. There is power in the name of Jesus, somebody. There is power. I say there is power. That's why if you go home and some of your people have all this idolatry nonsense in their house, you can convince your people. Go preach the gospel to them. Let them know you guys can renounce this thing. Once you guys renounce it, destroy them. People should use your mouth. How to get out of it? So what if it destroys you? I've seen people that destroyed it and it began to affect them. It can happen. Now how not to make it happen is that thing I said. Destroy it with your mouth first. Use your mouth. Renounce it. Disconnect yourself. Say, because you cannot come and say, I will serve you forever. I just come and destroy those things. You have to let the thing know, I'm not going to serve you again. You cannot say, I pledge my allegiance to you to give me money, to bless me. Say, now I renounce you as my Lord. I renounce you as the one that is supposed to give me money. I put my faith in Jesus. Now, you say, sir, does it work like that? How can you believe that the words you spoke when you went to make the covenant worked? And now the words you are now speaking after will not work. All of them happen by your words. Which fellow I'm talking about this morning? All of them have won by your words. Just like the other time they say you should bring cow, bring this. Now you are bringing a bigger sacrifice, the blood of Jesus. So it's the same thing you are doing. You are just undoing what you did. That's why when I meet people that have ancestral causes, that their fathers entered covenants for them. What I do is that I lead them to break themselves off. Now if the whole family agrees to that deliverance, I can lead the whole family and we'll break off that covenant entirely. Now, if the whole family says no, but it's only one person, I lead that person to cut himself off from that covenant with his tongue too. As simple as that. That's why deliverance cases are not so mystical. It's not bring pigeon, bring soap, bring this, let's wash it off from you, or bring broom, let's sweep it from your house. No. Same way, talk. Because the most important thing is the talk. All those who bring this, bring that, is to appease their God. The real thing is that thing they will lead you to say. And we know how these things work. So you destroy it. Now, if the person, be upstanding, stand if you're standing. If the person is a partner, you know, I mentioned about, I'm talking about partners on Thursday. Is a partner with the kingdom of darkness, you know, what you do first of all is to preach the word of God to the person. Now, when you preach and the person accepts the gospel, what do I mean by partner? You meet someone that is a witch. For instance, a native doctor, someone that is not just under the oppression of the devil, but the devil is using him. A person willingly allowed the devil to use him. And when you meet such people in the mission field, don't be afraid to preach to them. Don't see native doctors and not preach to them. Preach the gospel to them. No room for fear. I say no room for fear. Who has ever preached to a native doctor? Let me see your hand. Yeah, I like when I'm seeing hands. What is going to happen? You preach to them, say, who is what? I preached to witches. Met a woman, she was a witch. How did you know? She told us. No, not that is not broken sense. She told us, We came to the committee and said, we should come to her house. We thought it was just regular invitation. I said, if people don't come to my house, you will not live here with your life. My God. I wasn't the leader there. A leader said, right, you know, I love when you come direct like that, like the devil, we talk to you directly. My leader said, we actually plan to visit every family in this community before we go. But because of this thing, you said, your particular family, we will not come and nothing will happen. She now laughed. Okay, we shall see. And we saw, because she's dead. Why do I always talk about this? No, it's not like we killed her. We left the community. After like 1 month or so, she died. Real life story. What did I do that day? We preached the gospel to her. Now, when they accept the gospel, we now take them through the process of renouncing and everything I said. Now, if they reject the gospel, they don't want to change. Now, what you have to do is, you will stand and restrain their powers. Yes. Because if you let the devil, he's going to come against you. So you see what Paul did to that guy in Acts chapter 13? Do you remember we saw it on Thursday? Do you remember this? Saw that guy, that sorcerer, and said he will be blind for a season. Now, I'm not saying you should cast blindness on them, but restrain their powers. If, for instance, that native doctor has cast his influence over the youths of the land, because this was like native doctors like that, holding everybody a ransom, and the Lord shows that to you, right there you can tell the person, you don't want to be saved? Well, I'm not going to force you. But this hold and this power you have over the young people of this community, I break it from you now. So you restrain their power and withstand them. We've met a man who was holding the entire youths of the city captive, of the village captive, everybody. Manipulating their lives. What he did, we restrained his power. And he confessed it openly. Real life story. Walking up and down, shouting, I'm a big tree holding people's life captive in this village. He walked out of the village announcing himself. He refused to change. But we stopped at his power. So when you meet a partner who doesn't want to be free, you have to restrain his power in people's life. At least people that you know. And people you can. So you are here, you have a witch in your family. A diabolic person who has been terrorizing people. Who has refused to repent. Now, I'm not going to ask you to kill the person. But you can restrain their power. Say, from now, your influence will cease to walk over this family. How many of you believe in the power of God here, friends? From now, your influence over this family is broken. Everything you do against this one will not work. And you find out they will be trying, it will be falling back. I love the power of God. They will be trying, it will be failing. One of my mentors was sharing with me, a woman has asked her, who are you? What do you do? Real life story. Because I can count how many times that I've tried to get to your family. Somehow it doesn't work. Who are you? I get to the point. They've given me poison, sir. And I ate it. And felt nothing. Perfectly fine. Standing before you. And the person that gave me the poison used his mouth to say, I put something in that drink. Are you not feeling something? I feel good. Dr. Ma would say, I feel like shouting hallelujah. Yeah. They asked him, they gave him something to drink, expected him to die. The guy said, how do you feel? He said, I feel like shouting hallelujah. They asked him the second time, he said, I feel like laying hands on all of you and jacking that demon out of your body. That's how I feel. So how do you feel this morning? I feel like shouting hallelujah. They cast that influence over you, but because you've restrained their power, so that someone is a cat, all these sufferers they wish to lift in. Half of it is sponsored by fear. Because you are afraid that if that witch is still alive, it will keep influencing you. That's the fear. But if you understand what I'm saying, you can restrain their power. You see what Paul did to that man? The guy, Paul will be preaching. this guy will be casting a wrong influence upon the guy he's preaching to, the deputy, so that he will not listen. And Paul said, see how I attacked him? Oh, full of subtlety, just addressed him directly and said, from now you will not see the sun for a season. And they let him out. You can restrain their powers. Are you getting the point? Every time I go to any crusade, I used to announce this. Even the last one I went, I announced it. If you're a witch in this village, the last one I went, I told him, if you're a witch in this village, make sure our car has accident as you are going back. If not, a useless witch. Openly. I'm not that afraid. I'm not afraid of them. You went with me, Shay. Pastor Shay was also there. I think when we were coming back, the man told me, how can you announce that kind of thing? I said, that's true. If you're a witch in this village, I'm about to travel back. Cause accident, if you can. If not, you're a useless witch. Born the devil. Useless witch. One night I went to Christ and said, tonight as I'm going to sleep, I'm not going to pray before sleeping. Come and kill me in my sleep. If you can. Sir, are you not afraid? All this one is black. Forget. We know where we're coming from. How will he kill me? So he comes into my room, and my life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus in God. So he presses through God, enters through God, enters through Jesus, and now gets me. People are not serious. Do you even know where I'm sitting? I thought I was lying down on that bed. Do you know where I'm sitting? Far above. So they can't even get to where I am to press me. It's knowledge. It's not when you meet me first. You are here. I'm far above, watching you. Guess where I put my feet on your head? Where is the devil again? Show me where the devil is. Show me where the devil is, friends. Under my feet, friends. So all this press me. I don't want to arm you with knowledge. If a thousand devils surround my bed and I don't want to pray, I will not pray and nothing will happen. I said it. All I have to do is just make sure, tell them, don't cross. You see, if you pay that, don't ever, don't touch anything. No fears. So you restrain their powers. Let me say two more things. I have like 8 minutes to go. Are you learning something this morning? Two more things about this kind of devils. Please, be smart enough, spiritually smart enough, to know when the devil has left a person or left a place. Okay, sit, so that I can write. Be smart enough to know when the devil has left a person, or at least, so when you are releasing the power of God, for instance, know when it has worked, and I'll show you how to know. It's not hard. Because there will be many manifestations. There are people you try to cast that devil from, they begin to vomit. Have you seen that kind of case? They vomit, there is such a thing. Sometimes, some cry. Sometimes, some fall down and begin to vibrate. All of this is in the Bible. However, one of the shortest ways to know that a demon has left a person is to begin to check your spirit. In I think that's Luke 8, verse 46. Before that scripture, Jesus was walking and met this woman that had issue of blood. Now watch this. This woman touched Jesus. Jesus did not pray for her. Jesus did not even know. But Jesus said, somebody touched me because virtue has gone out of me. So Jesus knew when the anointing in his life worked. That's what I'm talking about. He knew. So when I'm praying for people, much as there will be manifestations, there will be shakings, there will be vibrations, I actually pay my attention to my spirit man. If I tell you it's done, like when I pray for the sick, I don't say it's done because the person's leg is moving. No. It's because I check my spirit on the people. So Jesus just said, virtue is going out of me. Now, he has not seen the woman. He didn't know the woman would touch him. But he just knew that the spirit just signaled to him that someone took power from you now. I get what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is not strange. It's not too supernatural. It's not too mystical. We are praying for people. You found devil. In the name of Jesus, be checking your spirit, man. When you find that peace, that it is done thing in your spirit, it's done for real. Because I've seen, I experienced one thing, I shared it with you guys. very strange. My pastor was praying for the sick. Casting out, I was praying for the sick. And they were coming out. And then he announced the case. And this person came out. And said, sir, I was having this issue behind there. But immediately you announced it. As I just came out, it has disappeared. People started clapping. He said, no. He called the guy. Put his hand on the guy. And these whole symptoms came back. He said, how different? I said, all of them are back. He said, I know. He said, what happened was, when I announced that case, that devil, the devil disguised, he went to hide. So putting his hand on the guy, the whole symptoms came up again. That's high sensitivity to the spirit. He now threw out the demon, he now went. Never came back again. So, well, that's why I said, when it's casting out devils, it's not a question of whether the person is vibrating or is shouting or is rolling. Be checking. Are you following me, friends? Be checking with your spirit. You foul devil of, just like when I tell people, from now I rebuke the devil of that spirit causing lack from you. How will I know that it has worked? The person doesn't have cash in his hand yet. Are you getting what I'm talking about? The person is still as broke as anything. Account is still empty. So how do I know that it has worked? I'm checking my spirit, man. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? That's sometimes I can drive out the spirit of someone, and the spirit leaves the person. But the person is still feeling symptoms. But I've gotten a check in my spirit that it is done. Yeah. So I now begin to speak to the symptoms. Two symptoms, get out of this person. But at least I know the spirit causing it has gone. So pay attention to that. I know what I'm talking about, friends. Sometimes a spirit living in a place can be very dramatic. Sometimes you don't even need to check so much to see it. It can be very dramatic. I've seen things so. I've seen someone vomit egg. Egg come out, wow, boom, egg came out. Really, not chewed egg, round egg was either round, dropped. I get the point. It can be that dramatic, but it's not always that dramatic. And don't always wait for that drama, because the devil can confuse you with that drama. That's why I don't, when I put this on you, I'm not always waiting for you to vibrate and fall, because you can actually fall and nothing will happen. Your falling might be the devil reacting to the anointing of God in the place. It doesn't mean actually that anything has happened. I learned something this morning. So casting out from people, you foul devil, get out. Let's use your grip of this person. And you can just sometimes person falls, sometimes person begins to cry. I've seen people begin to sweat profusely under the anointing. I've seen all these things happen. There are many of them I can tell you. For the surest one is because of our time, surest way, check your spirit, man. Are you following me, friends? Check. That even in your own life, something is going wrong in your life. That's why listen to me. That's why I have an issue with people that preach ancestral causes. Not because I don't believe that ancestral causes, but most times people that preach all these causes, they don't know how to address it. So you tell someone, let's pray against any cause from your father's house. Let's pray any cause from father's house. He finished praying. The next day, we pray it again. Now, when is it going to happen? He's been praying for the past 7 years. When you pray, if there's a curse in your house, observe a curse. Don't ignore it. Cast it out. But cast it out and pay attention. Immediately God says it is done. From that day, stop believing that there is a curse in your life. Because we can't keep casting out one curse, breaking one curse every day. Are you following me, friends? So once I believe it is done, now, can you still see some symptoms in the physical? Yes. But what did the spirit say? You cannot begin now. When there are symptoms, you cannot begin to address the symptoms and not the spirit. Do you understand what I told you now? Do you understand what I said now? So that I can make somebody sick. You drive out that devil, but the person will still be having pains. You cannot focus on the pain. Hey, pain, you go. Now, you know the devil's hand is off this matter. You've sent him packing. So, when you minister to people and when you're praying over your own life, pay attention to your spirit, man. When the Lord says it's done, when you sense that, so Jesus did not actually see this woman. It's just that he knew. God will give you that sensitivity in the spirit, very high one. People are touching him. That's why Peter told him, which was wrong with you? Everybody is trunking on you. I say somebody touched me. He didn't feel that touch. The person didn't even touch. The person touched his garment. Oh, I know what they're not called. He hem off his garment. So he didn't feel that touch in his body. He felt it in his spirit. That is high spiritual sensitivity. It exists. Let me get to the point. They can be sitting in a place facing your business, and yet someone walks into that place carrying a strange spirit. You've not seen the person, but you know that a strange stuff entered here. You just turn and begin to look for the person. I do it too. We look for the person. I've been in a meeting. A man of God walked in. Real life story. Many years ago. They were waiting for him to come. Waiting for him to come. I was just worshiping. I was just kneeling down. Immediately, I felt that snow in my spirit. I told my friends, this man is here in this room. The guy was carrying heavy, heavy grace. Yes. Then he came in. He resonated with me. I told my friends, this man is here. They said, as doctor, I said, he's here. We stood up, looked around, and there he was standing. You can sense like that. That's why when the anointing of God in me has worked, I know. But put us on the sick and tell you it is done. I don't care how you're feeling. I get to the point. Jesus didn't ask that woman, has the issue of blood stopped? Is it still flowing? It's a virtue. Higher has gone out of me. So when you don't just pray blindly. Oh, every spirit, fall and die. Holy Ghost fire. Don't do that blindly. Be checking your spirit, man. You see and you know by the spirit. That's why on Thursday I was talking to you about the zen of the spirit. Because that's one thing that will come in handy in all these matters. God will use you to help many people. He will. So you check. Then when the person is now delivered and free and all that, please arm the person with knowledge of who he is in Christ and knowledge of the need for him to begin to grow spiritually. I'll show you a last scripture that we'll pray. A last scripture. Matthew 12 verse 43. Matthew 12 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding. Because demons don't exist until they're in a place. They rest in people. I get what I'm saying. So he goes around seeking rest and finding none. See what he will do. Then he said, I will return to into my house where I came out, from whence I came out. When he is come, look at the point. He finds the house empty, swept and garnished. That's the problem. Empty. Probably like Amplified Classic. He finds the house empty. That's the problem. He said, when it arrives, he finds the house, the place unoccupied. That's why he drives out demons from people. Oh, you are here. And we're involved in some diabolic stuff, and they've prayed for you. If you don't occupy yourself with the Holy Ghost, get yourself used in the work of God, that devil is coming back. When the first place unoccupied, swept, put in order, and decorated, my God, what is he going to do? Verse 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So this is how demons operate. So we pray for you here. You found devil causing poverty, causing lack, tormenting his family. Get out in the name of Jesus. And then that spirit leaves you. Now you get serious in your work with God. Get very serious, because devil is going to come back for a counter attack. He will come and check that house again. The dreadful spirit of this in you is going to come and check that house again. So maybe you have sick. There's a demon that's tormenting you and making you sick. And we cast it out and you are now fine. Now don't just say, oh, I'm fine. Hallelujah. Begin to get serious with God. Study the scriptures on healing. Declare it. Keep your confession alive. Grow spiritually. Be serious with God. So when he comes for that counter attack, you will attack him again. So that's why you don't just go up and down. That's why we say when you do evangelism, pray for people, cast out devils from them, invite them to church. Because it's a matter of 3 weeks that demon is going to come back to check again. If that one is not growing spiritually, you find a family you prayed for and liberated from this, you meet them 1 month after, they are worse than they were when you met them. That's why we tell people to get serious with God and be in church and all that. It's for their own good. Because every time a devil leaves a person, he will always come back. And once he finds that house empty, decorated, unoccupied, he said, we are back. But when he comes back again, he needs the Holy Ghost. And that person is not giving him any room. Came at night, saw the guy pray, he said, there's no room here. He will come back again. Even when the devil tempted Jesus, the Bible said that he, after Jesus said, "Get behind me," the Bible said he left him for a season. You know what for a season means? For a season means he will definitely come back to check. Oh, glory. Let's take that song. That song the choir did. Hallelujah. Praise the one. Yes. Yes.
Death has lost its grip on me.
Come on.
You have broken every chain.
Your own life, because when this sensitivity comes, some of you begin to see why things are going wrong and happening the way they happen in your life. You can begin to trace the lines and help yourself first, or at least get help. I'm going to release the power of God here. If you are hungry for that sensitivity that comes by the Holy Ghost, lift your hands. That sensitivity that comes by the Holy Ghost. The selling of spirits. Mekarataya. Woo! Melekoba Radebo Shatakaya. Take 3 minutes before we pray. Pray the Holy Ghost. With your eyes closed and every soul says, pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Just pray, just pray. I want to hear you pray. Get yourself into this flow. If you are here and you are not born again, you've not received us into your life, this is the time you can do that. You can pray on your seat. You can come to me here. Let me lead you to Christ. If you are here, you want to receive us into your life, you can come here. I will lead you to Christ just right now. So that you can become part of what I'm saying. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be ashamed of. You want to say, Jesus, I want to accept you into my life. I want to be able to have this authority that I'm talking about. Come, hurry up and come up here. I'm going to lead you to Jesus. I'm bringing you to this family of God. This Jesus' family. And you become God's child this instant. If you are coming, you come quickly. Everyone, that person pray in the Holy Ghost. Ekabaraba shambra de la karataya.
broken every chain. Thy salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Lift your hands to heaven. Father, at the count of seven, as many hearts that are hungry, ready to be baptized into this soul sensitivity team, that which is known in your word as discerning of spirits, that which is known as the spirit of seeing and knowing, that heightened spiritual sensitivity, in the name of Jesus, as I count seven, let it rest and erupt from these ones like volcanic fire. Number one, karataba shombrete la kriaka barata. That's the power of God is picking people out one by one. Some of you will not be able to stand. There are about 30 of you here. About 30 of you here. That this stuff is going to rest on very strongly. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is so strong here. Number six. Number seven. That power of God move through this place. And take the rod of the Holy Ghost. He's moving from front to the back, from left to right. Some of you will feel a sensation in your right hand. Some of you will feel sensations in your stomach. Some of you will feel fire on your legs. Look at that. It's coming very strongly now. It's coming very strongly now. Some of you will feel your eyes coming under strong influences. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is so strong here. There are about 30 of them. There are 28 more. 28 more. Where are the Holy Ghost? Pick them up by your fire. Take! Yes, there are more people. Shekele baradaya. Kokebe kabara. There are about 25 more persons. It's blowing through this place. Like the wind of the Spirit. From my left to my right. From the front to the back. Thou power of God. In the name of Jesus. Move through this place. Aha. Just raise your hands. Look at that. Now, don't pray again. Just raise your hands. Close your eyes. Don't pray again. Father. That wind of the Spirit. There are about 24 more persons. That this fire will rest on now. Holy Ghost, front to the back, everyone, male, female, thou power of God, move through this place now. Move through this place now. That's right. That's right. I'm going to count seven again, and that'll be it. Hungry hearts. One, two, yes, three. Some of your leg will not be able to carry you. Some of you feel some vibrations in your body now. One, two, three, four, five, six. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Number seven, take it. Take it. People on my left, all in the script. The rest of the Holy Ghost. Look at that. I get from the Holy Ghost 17 more persons. Aha. Look at that. Your feet will be able to carry you. Look at that. Your feet will be able to carry you. Steer it from the Holy Ghost. Steer it by the Spirit. 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 From the minister's side down to the back. Are you ready? Take now in the name of Jesus. Stand on the Holy Ghost. Pastors, you need this. Ministers, leaders, everybody. That hand lifted to heaven now. Put it on top of your head and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Whether you are down or you are up, that hand, put it over your head. Your eyes will open. Your sensitivity will be enlightened. You will get things. You will perceive things by the Holy Ghost. God will use you mightily to help many. Hey, pray. Yes, 2 more minutes. Just pray. You have broken every chain. There is salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. I am my living hope. Listen, If at any time in your life, you, I just got to say it now, you or your sibling or your mother rather, your parents got you involved, whether it was that got something or somebody got you involved in anything that looked diabolic, that visited witch doctors or anything like that, come, let me help you right now. Somebody took you there or you took yourself there, let me break off that satanic influence from your life. Somebody took you there at any time, or you took yourself there when you were young, now that you are grown, nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of. The one thing about this church is we are like that, we are family like that. So if you need help in any way, just come. Some of you are even men of God, but at different times in your life, people involved you in some crazy stuffs.
You have broken every chain. Thy salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.
Aya,
my living home.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.